All right. Okay, today we're continuing with the exposition of Luke in Luke chapter 10. On this very short passage, the account of Jesus visiting Martha and Mary's home, and also the home of Lazarus. And in this very heartwarming account of hospitality in the family and in the household of Martha and Mary, we see two lovely sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of them are devoted to Christ. So I don't want us to think about Martha. Very often when we think about Martha, we're thinking about her in a very negative sense, right? That she is just this, she's always so busy and, you know, she has no time for Jesus, right? It's always in a negative sense. But today we want to see her in also a positive light, right? We want to see a complete person, right? And really, we want to see ourselves in Mary and Martha, right? Which is kind of like what Elder Boone alluded to just now, right? It's not that we are Martha always or we are Mary always, right? That would not be a balanced thing. But we need at times to be Martha. We need at times to be Mary. So really the key about a balanced Christian life is knowing when to do what, all right? Finding the right time to do the right thing, right? So this story and this account is really recorded for us not to condemn Martha or exalt Mary, but rather to see in our own lives there were times when we were out of balance, we were out of whack. We are not really focusing on the right things, right? So God willing, we will learn many precious lessons. And it's not just a lesson for you. It's a lesson especially for me and for those who are very much engaged in the Lord's ministry. That very often our lives are out of balance because we are so busy doing so many important things for God, right? We're doing important things for God that we forgot to spend time on the most important things. All right, so it is something that we all have to learn. Martha, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And this is really the first, just very few words, right? We gather from the other Gospels that Martha, Mary and Lazarus live in a village called Bethany. Right? Bethany is a very small village, 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, just 3 kilometers. And this is probably where Jesus was ministering. And along the way, you know, they met Martha, and Martha was very, very hospitable. And usually when you read the gospel accounts, when Martha, Mary is mentioned and Lazarus, Martha is usually mentioned first, right? And most commentators believe that she is the eldest among the siblings, right? So she was mentioned first. And there's also no mention of the fact of anything about their rest of the family. So we could deduce from here that they were not married, right? Both Mary and Martha were not married. And they have devoted their lives to serve others. Now, the name Bethany is of Hebrew origin. In Greek, it basically means house of misery, house of affliction, right? Right? It sounds like a very negative name. House of affliction and house of Mary. How did it come about? Because Bethany was well known to be a place of where they had a famous hospice, where they would take care of the poor and the sick and the needy. Right, and it was also known to be a place of where they take care of the lepers as well. Right, so that was where they got the name. Right, the connotation is a place where the sick people, the miserable people, go right into this village to seek help. But Martha and Mary, perhaps, right, we don't know, but some commentators suggest that perhaps they have opened their home to this hospitality ministry, right? To this ministry to welcome people, passers-by, or even perhaps some of the sick. Perhaps they even ran a hospice of sorts, either from the home or from an outhouse, Right, so here we see a glimpse of Martha's hospitality. Right, so as they went, referring to Jesus and his entourage of disciples, right, and they were going everywhere from place to place to minister to people, to preach the word, to encourage people to turn to Christ, to follow the true and living God. And they were tired, right? And they were tired. They need a place of rest. And God provided this home, this house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Martha very, very warmly received Jesus into their home. Here we see not just the fact that they have a big house. You need to have a big house, right, in order to accommodate a large group of people, right? But you also need to have resources. But most of all, you need to have a big heart. Not just a big house, but a big heart, right? Because you need to be accommodating, right? When you invite strangers into your house, you need to be accepting, right, of the various things they will do in your house, right? And the things that, the fact that they may mess up your house, right? And they certainly will, right? And you need to tidy it up. You need to clean it up. You need to do things. And you also need to provide them with food and drinks, right? Refreshments. So these are the things that you need to do. And Martha had this special gift of hospitality, right? Together with Mary, right? So they are a very warm family. And hospitality is something that is commended in scriptures, right? 1 Peter 4:9 tells us, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Now, you can use hospitality with grudging, right? And it happens to the best of us, even Christians. You know, there was one couple who was very, very hospitable, but sometimes they will also grumble. They will also grumble, yeah, this person came to my house and did this and did that, right? And they got a little bit upset. It is human, right? It is human for us to feel upset when people come to our house and kind of like abuse our kind, generous hospitality. There are people who do that. But we have to learn to be like Jesus, to be accepting, to be accommodating, to overlook their sins, their offenses against us, right? That's part of being in the hospitality ministry. 1 Timothy 3:2 says, a bishop or an elder then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, be of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. So this is a desirable trait, quality that all of us should cultivate in ourselves. Not just something for the elders, for the elder's wife as well, for the pastor, for the pastor's wife, for also the deacon, the deacon's wife, for the leaders of the church, and for everyone, for every Christian. It is something that you should aspire to be hospitable to others. Why? Because it shows that you belong to Christ. It shows that you are part of God's family. It shows that you feel for God's family. You love the family of God, and you welcome them into your home, especially those whom you don't really know very well, right? And welcoming them into your home becomes an opportunity for you to get to know them, to have deeper fellowship with them, to pray with them, to hear their problems, and to be an encouragement to them, right? So the hospitality part, the food and the drinks and the refreshment are merely a means to get to know people, right? So always keep that as the big picture, the goal. The hospitality doesn't end with the food and the drinks. The food and the drinks is the start to allow the conversations, the sharing, the Bible study, and the prayer to begin, right? And that really is the goal. You want to aim at the important things. That is relationship building, right? Hospitality is about building relationship. It's about encouraging one another in the Lord. It's about exhorting one another to love and to good works, to provoke one another, to stir up one another to love and to good works, and to encourage someone who is down, someone who is sick, to visit them, right? That's part of it. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Because we are part of the big family of God. And therefore, it is right for us to reach out to the family of God. From whatever nationality you come from whatever background, whether you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. We are all equal in the sight of God, right? We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. One day we will be in heaven, same rank, right? In heaven, everyone will have the blessings of God. From every language, from every nation, praising and singing to the Lord. And what we're doing here today in worship is a glimpse of that, right? It is a foreshadow of what will happen in heaven, right? And so we have many opportunities for us to welcome people into our house, to be a blessing to them, right? So do not see it as a burden. And some people think it's very, very stressful. I don't want to invite people in my house. It's very stressful, especially don't invite pastor. Because the pastor will judge me, you know. The pastor doesn't judge you, okay? Yeah. Pastor will be very happy to come to your house, to have fellowship with you, right? So don't feel that kind of pressure that, oh, people will judge me when they come to my house. People will say things about me, you know, and then they will mess up my house. And I feel so stressed. You know, I have to clean up the house from every corner, you know, every window. Otherwise, people will judge me. Yeah. Do not think like that, right? Do not think like that. Yes, if you're a good host, you want to provide a nice environment for your friends and church members to come to your home. By all means, clean up your house and all that, right? That's fine, right? But don't feel overly stressed, right? At the end of the day, it's not your house per se, right? It's not the food or the drink that you're providing per se. It is you that the people want to talk to, right? It is the relationship, it's the conversation that is the most important thing. It's not about your house. All right? So get that straight in your mind, all right? Yeah. And then we have verse 39. Martha was introduced, and now you have Mary. So Martha was very good at hospitality, right? And later on we will see some of the more negative parts of her character. But she had a good heart. She has a very large heart. She's very generous with people, right? And no matter how big the group, she is willing to open the house to accommodate people, right? She loves to take care of people, to cook for them, to provide drinks for them, to refresh them. And then we have her sister Mary. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We have here a very stark contrast, of Martha, right? Who is very warm, right? Not yet a very stark contrast, but later on you will see a bigger contrast. Martha very warm, welcoming Jesus and the entourage, strangers, right? I don't know whether they know the disciples, the 12 disciples. They certainly know Jesus, but do they know the 12 disciples, right? And sometimes that is one of those obstacles. We don't want to welcome people. Hey, I don't know this person, you know. I don't feel comfortable to have this person in my house, right? Right, so maybe see it as an opportunity to get to know somebody whom you don't know, right? Who also sat at Jesus' feet, Mary, right? We see here, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The very posture that she adopts tells us something about Mary. And it tells us something about Jesus. That Jesus is her Lord and Master. Jesus is God. Jesus is her teacher. Jesus is her shepherd, her guide. Jesus is her wisdom. Jesus will direct her footsteps. Jesus is going to teach her so many wonderful truths about her Christian life that she needs to learn. She needs to grow. She's like a baby. She wants to learn from Jesus. She wants to learn all the riches of the wisdom that Jesus can give her and help her. She's a sinner like you and me. She needs a Savior. She needs direction. She needs wisdom from God. She needs a teacher to help her. Right? And she was willing to humble herself. She sat at the foot of Jesus. She humbled herself in a lowly position. She knows she's the disciple. And Jesus is the teacher and instructor. She knows that. It's unlike some of these classrooms today. You know, I don't envy our brother, Deacon Aaron. as a teacher these days, right? I know some of the students can be quite difficult, right? I certainly remember my wife sharing that when she was a relief teacher, she was bullied by the students, right? That's the reason why she never became a teacher, right? Relief teacher, right, can be bullied by the students, right? And that was many, many years ago, right? So it's not easy. Now there are a lot of students who think they are more clever than the teacher, right? Who are not willing to humble themselves. In fact, they Google and say, this person teach the wrong thing, right? They don't believe what the teacher teaches. Right? So you're having a lot of challenges from students, but not Mary. Mary recognized that Jesus is God. He teaches the right doctrine, even though what he teaches seems to be very different from what Mary was used to hearing in the synagogues or in the temple. From the Jewish rabbis, it seems totally different. It's so fresh. And it's so authoritative because it is from God himself, correcting the wrong teachings that have been given out in the synagogues by the Pharisees and the scribes and the high priests. And Jesus had to undo all the damage done over decades of wrong teaching and wrong practices by the Jewish leaders. And Jesus had to do all of that. And that is why large crowds flocked to Jesus. And that is why Mary chose this position. She sat at the foot of Jesus. She just wanted to hear what Jesus is going to teach her. She's so excited. And she's just so quietly sitting at the foot of Jesus. And how much we need that as well. I know some of you are yawning, right? Sometimes you open the Bible and you fall asleep, right? Sometimes you come to church, oh, it's so comfortable here, right? And then you fall asleep, right? Not Mary. Mary was very comfortable at the foot of Jesus. But she was just longing to hear what Jesus has to say to her. She was humble, right? That was the posture. She was ready to receive what Jesus would teach her. And she was just listening. She had all her senses tuned to hear Jesus speaking to her. And she was ready. Her posture of her heart, the attitude. She was humble. She was ready to obey the word of God. Now that's very important for every disciple of Christ to adopt this posture. That when we open the word of God, when we click on the Octavius Winslow morning devotion, Lord, say a prayer. Lord, teach me. Give me a humble heart. Lord, I know you're going to teach me precious lessons this morning that will apply. Lord, help me to see that lesson and help me to apply it. Give me a teachable heart. And when you pray that kind of prayer, will God answer your prayer? Yes. God will always answer your prayer and God will teach you and show you wonderful truth out of His Word. And so here we have Mary. And then we have Martha, right? Coming back to Martha. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came to Jesus with a complaint, right? What is she complaining about? Lord, dost thou not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me, right? Now, we have no doubt that Martha loved Jesus. Martha loved Jesus, and that is why she welcomed Jesus and all the disciples into her house, so that she can be hospitable towards them. She can refresh their tired bodies and their voices, right? So that they can continue to serve. But here we have a complaint about Martha, of Martha about Mary. And here this is the divine inspired scripture commentator, the Holy Spirit, telling us that Martha was cumbered about much serving. And that's the lesson that God wants us to teach us, to point to the attitude of Mary. She was cumbered about. In other words, she was very much burdened. She was distracted by the so many things that she needs to do. Now, you can imagine suddenly when you invite a large number of people. It was not by previous appointment. It's not like, oh, they made an appointment 1 week ago that Jesus is going to come with the disciples into her house and she can plan way in advance. It was like they happened to pass by this village and they saw Mary and Martha, and Martha welcomed them into the house. So it's kind of like a spontaneous invitation. She had no time to prepare in advance. So in other words, there's lots of things that she needs to do, right? She needs to get water and, you know, refreshments for all of them. She probably needs to get water to wash their feet, right? From all their dirty feet, from all the journeys, walking around. And she needs to start preparing food from scratch for so many people. Right. So some of you who are used to cooking for two or three people, try cooking for 20 people, right? At short notice, right? You know how difficult that is, right? How challenging that is. And then you start thinking about, oh, I need to do this, 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 this. There's so many things that needs to be done, right? She probably need to scramble to get the flour, get water to mix and start kneading the dough, right? And then put in the bread into the oven. She needs to start the fire, make sure it's the right temperature. She has so many things for her to do. And she is doing all this alone, right? Nobody is helping her. And that's why she complained to Jesus. Jesus, do you not care that I am serving alone? Can you ask my sister to come and help me? Right? Why didn't she just go and talk to her sister and ask the sister to come and help her? But this is a character, right? This is a character, right? Maybe in the past she tried and she failed. So she thought that if she can talk to Jesus, right? Jesus can order her sister to come and help her, right? That is what she was thinking, right? She wants the best service for Jesus, her VIP guest. She's honored to have Jesus in the house. She wants the best food for Jesus, not just the simple food. She's thinking about very elaborate, I don't know how many course lunch or dinner. She's thinking about all the things that she wants to plan for so many people. And so she needs help, right? But she was cumbered about much service. And she felt that she was alone. Are there times when you felt like that? When you felt all alone in the kitchen, there's nobody to help you, and the people in the house, they're just sitting around, playing video games, doing something else, engrossed, lazing around, watching TV or whatever, computer, instead of asking mom or whoever who is in the kitchen, do you need any help? Can I help? Well, Martha was feeling like that. And so she complained to Jesus. And what did Jesus say to her? Martha was cumbered about much serving, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was full of cares. That is what it means, right? Careful means she was full of cares. She was full of all these lists of things, the to-do list. Right. Early in the morning, I sometimes write down my to-do list. And, wow, gotta do this, gotta do that. So I order it by the date. Huh? Every day in the week, I will do all these things, all my deadlines. And then I must work backwards. Like, how much time do I need to get this done, to get the sermon done, to get the article done, to prepare for this, to prepare for that. All right. So we have a whole list of things. And you can be just overburdened, anxious, worried about all these things. Where do I find time to get all these things done? And then you become irritable. You become angry at people around you who are not helping you, right? And then you start snapping on them. And that was Martha, right? And Jesus have to lovingly rebuke and remind her, right? So this is not a very sharp rebuke. It's just a loving rebuke. It's a loving reminder of Jesus, a loving correction. For that matter, right? A loving correction to Martha, that you are distracted by so much serving and that you are full of cares and anxieties and worries. There's no need. There's no need to be so worried about all these things, right? The Lord Jesus just needs a very simple meal. There's no need for you to be so elaborate and to do so many things, to be obsessed, preoccupied, to become so stressed, irritable, burnout, feeling alone, overloaded, and then resenting others for not helping you, right? But that was Martha. And that is us sometimes, right? Even legitimate daily activities, even church ministry, We can sometimes become like that. Because we get angry that people are not helping out. We ask for help and people are not helping. Or we don't even ask for help. Right? Well, Jesus is saying that, Martha, Martha, you are so full of cares and you are so troubled with so many things. But you have forgotten that there are times when you need to be quiet. There are times when you need to stop and not be so busy. You need to stop and be with Jesus, to spend time with Christ. Don't be overburdened by all the things that are around you, all your KPIs and all your goals, all your objectives, all your deadlines, and all the things that you need to do, that you become so angry with people around you, so irritable. Whenever you feel like that, stop. Right? Stop and ask yourself, why are you doing this? And ask yourself, why are you getting angry? Why are you getting so stressed? Why are you so irritable? And ask yourself, is there a better way? Yes, there is a better way. Right? And the better way is to stop and spend time to think about the big picture. Right? If Martha has stopped herself instead of going to Jesus to complain and ask herself, why did you invite Jesus into your house? Is it just to complain to him? Or to recognize that he is your VIP, the special guest, the important, the all-important person in your life that you want to bless, that you want to be a blessing to? That perhaps Martha would have reacted differently. And so Jesus went on to talk about the problems, right? That Martha, the attitude, that she is unbalanced. She is a good woman. She loves the Lord. But her life is out of whack. She has neglected her guest. She thought that she's trying to do her best for her guest. But actually, she has neglected her. In what sense? Here you have Jesus, the greatest teacher, God, in your house. And what are you doing? Busy in the kitchen, right? Doing a lot of things. Not talking to Jesus. Not spending time with Jesus. Right? Can you imagine that? You know, do any of you know Warren Buffett? Ring a bell in some of you, right? One of the famous investor in the whole world, right? Greatest, one of the greatest investor and fund manager. The 10th richest person in the whole world. The latest count on Forbes value his wealth at 100 plus billion US dollars. Billion, not million. 100 over billion US dollars. The 10th richest person in the whole world. Every year, his wife suggested, it started in more than 10 years ago, his wife suggested that she is serving in a charity, that he should start a lunch with Warren Buffett, right? That will be auctioned out. So in other words, you can bid to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, why would people want to have lunch with Warren Buffett? Because he is the richest investor. He is the smartest investor. His stock has been going sky high every year, right? Every other year. Right, except during the pandemic, it dropped for a short while and I missed the opportunity to buy it. And then it shot up like crazy again, right? And I was still waiting and waiting and waiting and it's too late, right? Yeah, he's the smartest investor in the whole world and people value his insights and wisdom. And lunch, you know how much was the bid? To have lunch with Warren Buffett. A few US million dollars, right? Just to have lunch with him. And it was worth it. Every one of them who bidded for that say it was worth it. Now, the last lunch, he says that's going to be the final one, right? In 2022. The last lunch that he was going to have, the bid went up to $19 million. I got it wrong. $19 million just to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, can you imagine if you are going to have lunch with Warren Buffett? Let's say you invite Warren Buffett into your house. You can have it in a restaurant. You can have it in your house. Can you imagine? Let us take us back to the scene of Martha, right? Can you imagine you were Martha, right? You invited Warren Buffett into your house to have lunch with him. You spent US $19 million to invite him to your house. And then what do you do during that 2 hours of lunch with him? You are in the kitchen. You didn't have a single question to Warren Buffett. You didn't ask him a single question. Can you give me tips how to invest? Which stocks are the most valuable right now? Undervalued by the market? What should I be looking at? Which sector? Which country? Which? You didn't ask a single question of Warren Buffett. And all that you did was you were busy around, you know, in the kitchen, trying to prepare the best meal to impress Warren Buffett, that I can cook a nice meal for you. That is the picture that we're seeing here, right? Here you have Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heavens and the earth, coming into your house, and you spend all your time in the kitchen not talking to Jesus. Not even asking Jesus, Lord, give me wisdom. How can I grow in Christ? How can I be a good disciple of Christ? How can I be a godly Christian? Help me, I've got all these problems in my family, relationship problems, you know, my son is going astray, my wife is, I'm having quarrel with her every day. How can I solve all these problems? Instead of asking Jesus for advice, or wanting to hear from Jesus, Lord, can you teach us about the Old Testament? Can you teach me about this? I don't understand this, I don't understand that. You have that 2 hours, that precious time to ask all the questions of Jesus. And you spend all the time in the kitchen not talking to Jesus. That is what we're talking about here. All right? And that is why Jesus was chiding and rebuking Martha. You thought that you are serving me, but actually you have neglected me. And the truth is that many times we are like that. Nowadays, we have the Bibles in our phones. We can bring it everywhere we go, right? But very often, I have people telling me, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to do quiet time. I don't have time to spend time with Jesus. Because I'm so busy with so many things. We have allowed the things of the world, the tangible things, the material things, to crowd out Jesus in our lives. Yes, we need to set priorities. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to set priorities. You know, the world is always going to crowd you out. Your studies are going to be a lot of things in your school. There will always be a lot of activities who will take you away from Jesus. Your workplace, there will always be all these deadlines. If you're a good worker, as a Christian worker should be, if you are trusted by your boss, you will be given more work. Trust me, right? Every good worker will be given more work and more work and more work until you become overburdened and you become so stressed. So if you are a good worker, you must know how to balance, right? So I learned in my working life to say no to my boss, right? I say, no, I can't. I can't do this, right? So if you need me to do this, you have to reorder my priorities. Tell me which one should I do first, right? You have to manage your boss because your boss doesn't know your limit, right? Your boss doesn't know what is your limit that you can handle. You can become overworked and you can overwork yourself to death. There are people who die in Japan and South Korea because of overwork. They overwork themselves. They allow the boss to give them shift work. Right, overtime and overtime and overtime in the factory, in the office, they overwork themselves to death. They died in the office, on their office desk. The result of an unbalanced life. You need to keep balance in your life. Priorities are important. You need to ask yourself every day. And that's why quiet time is important. That's why doing a devotion is important. That's why reading the Word of God is important. Because God directs us back to what is important in your life. Not the material things, but the spiritual things. The spiritual things are the most important. Because if today is your last day in this world, if today is your last day in your life, you are going to be seeing Jesus tomorrow. Are you ready to give an account of your life to Jesus? Are you ready? And every day you must be ready. Every day you must say, I am ready, Lord, to see you. If you are not ready, it means something is wrong in your life. There's no balance in your life. You're too busy and you have neglected Jesus. And that was Martha. She had neglected Jesus, thinking that she was serving Jesus. And that can happen to all of us. don't forget your communion with Christ. Don't forget to spend time with Jesus. And so Jesus said, but there is one thing that is needful, Martha. And Mary had chosen that good part, the better part, which shall not be taken away from her. Yeah, I know you're complaining about Mary, but really Mary was doing the right thing. Right? And that if I am indeed, and if you do indeed recognize me as your Savior, I am the God, the true and living God. I am the creator of heavens and the earth. I have in me is all the wisdom that you need in your life. Don't you think you should spend time with me? I'm not saying that it's not important to prepare food, drinks, you know, to make your guests feel happy. There is a time for that. But there is also a time to sit down at the foot of Jesus and to hear his teaching and to humble ourselves to say, yes, Lord, I have sinned in this area. I accept your correction and I will come back to you. And this was Martha. We thank God that Martha was humble because subsequently we see a change in her life. She did not neglect Jesus. Martha didn't realize that in her desire to serve Jesus, she had neglected Jesus. And so Jesus says, don't be so busy. Now it's time for worship, right? There will be time for you to cook. Don't worry, we're not so hungry now, right? And you don't need to prepare a 10-course meal for me. We don't need a 10-course meal. We just need a simple meal, right? Even just bread will be enough, right? I don't need you to be so busy. I need you to sit down and listen to my teaching. And the lesson for all of us is, are you so busy serving God? Or are you so busy in your daily activities that you have no time for Jesus? There is a need for us to spend time. Now, how do we know that Martha had learned the lesson? Subsequently, after the death and resurrection of Lazarus, in fact, death of Lazarus, this was the scene in John chapter 11, when Martha heard that Jesus came to Bethany. She went to meet him. And Mary sat in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. In other words, I believe you are God and you can raise my brother from the dead. Lazarus had died 4 days, buried 4 days in the tomb. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she has the right doctrine. So she has sat at the foot of Jesus together with Mary after that rebuke, right? So she is open to correction. She is humble. She is willing to listen to Jesus and she is willing to change. And that is something remarkable about Martha, right? And that's something that we can learn. And verse 27, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Christ, the Anointed One. You are the Messiah, the Anointed One. You are the Savior of the world. And that is a remarkable confession of Martha. She is a woman of faith. Right? So don't go away today thinking that, oh, Martha is so horrible. No, she's a woman of faith and she is open to correction and she is humble to receive loving correction from Jesus. And that is something remarkable for us to learn about Martha. All right? And I hope that all of us will learn this trait of Martha. And we also read about the devotion, the continued devotion of Martha and Mary. Subsequently, right, in John chapter 12, they made him a supper. They made Jesus a supper 6 days before the Passover. That Jesus was going eventually to the cross. Right? Before that, Martha served Jesus, I'm sure, a very elaborate banquet. Right? Because she knows that her time with Jesus is limited. Right? In fact, subsequently, Mary was described here as using a pound of ointment of spikenard, very, very costly ointment, to anoint the feet of Jesus. Verse 3, and wipe his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor, with the aroma, the fragrance of the ointment, of the perfume. And of course, it was Judas Iscariot who complained that, oh, why don't you just sell this perfume so that we can give the money to the poor? Why waste it on the feet of Jesus? And Jesus defended Mary. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. So we have here two lovely sisters, devoted to Jesus, loving Jesus, even preparing Jesus for burial, for his death and then his resurrection. Right? So we see here the devotion of Mary and Martha. Certainly, two lovely sisters whom we can learn from, right? The hospitality of Martha, her faith in Jesus, and her devotion, her continued devotion in Jesus. Mary learned much from Jesus, and Mary also anointed Jesus for his burial. And both of them love Christ, and we need to have a balance in our lives. But they are both different, and all of us are different, right? Some of us are more inclined to be like Martha, but we need to have a balance. Some of us are more inclined to be like Mary, but don't just always sit and do nothing, right? Don't just always read the Bible and do nothing in church. That's not teaching here, right? There is a need for people to serve in the various ministries in church, but there's a time for service. There's a time to be an usher, and there's a time to come in to sit down and worship with the rest of us, all right? So that's the teaching here. There needs to be a balance in our Christian life. What are the lessons we can learn? Firstly, are you burdened by many things in your life? Beware of the hurried, harried life, in Singapore especially. It's very easy for us to be sucked in into the whole system of society. We feel that we cannot help ourselves, that we have to please our boss, we have to please the people around us, we have to do all these good works. We are distracted by all these things that we have to do. And many things in the world will distract us. And your body can be physically here, but your mind is not here because you're thinking about, after worship, I've got to do this, 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 this. And that's a phenomenon in many churches, right? Many wives, what they do on Sunday morning is they have this big lunch after service for the family, right? They call it a Sunday roast, right? Something will be roasting in the oven. And they'll set the timer perfectly, you know. So pray, Lord, that pastor's sermon won't be too long this morning. Otherwise, when we come back home, the chicken will be burned, right? Or the pork will be burned, the beef will be overcooked, right? They're having these things happening in the oven, right? Right. So then after service they rush home, right? Right. No time for small talk, catch up with people in church. They're so busy. They're so busy serving the people in the church, in the family, right? And their mind is thinking, oh Lord, please, I need to get back home. Right? The roast is burned, right? So don't do that, right? Don't do that, right? Okay? Right? Lesson two, pray. Don't worry, right? Sometimes we are filled with so many worries and burdens and anxieties, so many things to do. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, let's read this together. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't be full of cares about anything. Don't, right? When you're worried, when you're anxious, cast your cares on Jesus. Pray to Jesus and leave it at the cross of Jesus. And the peace of God will fill your hearts and minds. Lesson three, prioritize spiritual growth. That's what Jesus is teaching. You know, the world is always going to take you away from God on the practical, physical things that you need to do. But always prioritize the spiritual things. Beware of the unbalanced life of Martha, that you end up neglecting God. You think that you're serving God. Oh, I need to do all these things for the church. There's so many things in the church. But I haven't done my quiet time. Never mind, I serve God first. Right? Our priorities are wrong. Right? Our priorities are wrong. What would most please God? You spending time with God. Right? Reading the word, praying. So love Christ, not the things in the world. Sit at the feet of Jesus to learn to know Jesus and to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior all the days of your life. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word that is truth. Forgive us for many times we can identify with Martha, that we had been like Martha. Lord, help us. Give us teachable, humble hearts. Help us to come back to you. Help us to obey your word. Help us to prioritize spiritual things. Help us to love you with all our heart and to love your word and to honor you to pray to you every day, to reset our priorities every morning so that we will follow Christ all the days of our life and that we will do your will every day of our life. So that if this is the last day in our life, we know that we are ready to meet with Jesus and to receive a commendation from you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.